C1A. Number 8A.
Before I start with the third subject in Atonement and Eucharist, I would like to make a short remark on the second series of these talks. You see, or you have noticed, that I have taken this first chapter and the beginning of the second chapter rather slowly. And in spite of doing it very slowly, I always felt I only did half of what I wanted to do. And so we haven't done as much as I had foreseen originally in the program. So I was thinking of continuing this talk the next year, and you have received this application form. And for those who would like to continue next autumn, I would ask them to send in the application form until the end of May. We need that because we should have decided on the size of the hall which is needed for the talk. Now, don't think that I intend to go through the whole textbook at this speed, but somehow I feel that I would like to go on as far as the fourth and, if possible, fifth chapter, because I feel that's the minimum I should do, and then we still can see what is the right thing at that moment. But I feel that if I would stop now in the middle of the word, I would defeat. I would defeat the purpose. And so I would like to go on with whoever likes to go on to the fourth and, if possible, fifth chapter. And if I do it very slowly, it has a big purpose in it, because what I want to do really is, as you may have said, not so much explain or interpret the text of the textbook, but what I would like to achieve is to awaken the love for the textbook, and second, to awaken the insight into the order of the textbook. I feel that if we get into the rhythm of seeing how all these subjects, if we take the main subject of a chapter, or if we take the subtone of a subject, or if we take the chapter each one after the other, that has always a big order embedded in it, and that there is always an order which is fundamental. It's always the seven and the four. And so really what we are doing is to culture the seven and the four, and to culture it until it becomes natural in tone, until we are no more dependent on words and terms. That's what I would like to achieve. See, by going over these passages and paragraphs, all what I would like to achieve is to get somehow into the rhythm of the seven and the four. Once we are in the rhythm of the seven and the four, then each one can go on by himself or herself. Well, and also, you know, John Dolly has laid out the Bible and has given that whole Bible story within 2 or 3 years. Well, that was a rush. You remember, for instance, he did Joshua in one evening, that wonderful big book of Joshua on which we could spend easily a whole winter. He just did it in one evening. Well, he couldn't do something else. He had to deliver his message and had to do it and leave it in the hands of his students to ponder it and ponder it and ponder it. But I'm not in his position, and so I can take the time to go over it slowly with you, but only for the one and only purpose, not to teach anything. I just feel less, more and more, that I'm not in the position to teach anything. I don't have the caliber to do it, but there is a wonderful exact order, and each one can grasp it. And if I can show you that order and lead you into the rhythm of it, then I'm very happy with what I have done. So now let's take the third subject. Yes, what I wanted to say is this about this new series. I want that everyone feels absolutely impersonally free to go on or stop, and that nobody must have the feeling that they should come or should support me or should do this or should do that. I want you to be completely impersonal about it and completely free to decide if you feel you want to go on. But if you go on, the one thing I ask is regular attendance. That's the one thing I ask. And you know why? It's not because I want to have you always here and have the classroom full, but because we see in Atonement and Eucharist that unless we make a sacrifice, we are not going anywhere. And to subscribe to a regular attendance means to subscribe to a sacrifice. Because everyone comes into a situation where he should do something else at that Sunday where the talks are. That something, a friend is coming and this and that. And so there must be a sacrifice, whatever it is. And that's one way of it. And so I feel that if we take talks or classes and groups and so on, just when it suits us and just when there is nothing else on and just if we have nothing, no other things to do, then it has no salt in it, has no pepper in it, has no strength in it, and it misses. It's just staying always at the point of prayer, never goes on to Atonement and Eucharist, never goes on to lay down the mortal for the divine. Now, we are coming to the third subject, and the third subject is not the first subject, it's always the continuation of what has gone before. And what has gone before? What have we seen yesterday in spirit? We saw that the second subject of atonement, which demands that purity of spirit and demands of us that purification of thought, that cannot be achieved without Eucharist. That it cannot be achieved without turning away from the material sense, a material concept of things, and to turn steadfastly to the spiritual. Well, this turning away from the false God and turning towards thou shalt have but one God, this turning away, as the subject has shown, gives to the human a constant struggle, until at the subtone of truth she said, when truth is overcoming error in your daily walk and conversation, you can finally say, I have fought the good fight. You see, the warfare of spirit begins to lessen and to end. And so so we see that the second subject is that struggle, that warfare going on within our consciousness of constantly turning away, of constantly putting first things first and making the sacrifice of putting second things on the second place. And that sense of struggle goes on. And the question is, well, is that all in life? How long should that go on? And so the third chapter, a third subject comes in and says, yes, you have to persevere in that struggle. You have to persevere. Soul is persevering. Soul is that in us which makes us perseverant, which gives us the ability and the strength to be perseverant. So it says. So you see that the second brings the battle and the fight and the struggle and the warfare of spirit, and then the third comes and says, stick to your guns. Soul says, always stick to your guns. Don't give in. It is, now you can see it like this. We always see how it follows. You can see spirit said, turn away from this, from the false, turn yourself towards the imperishable things of spirit. You see, it gives the right direction of spirit. Spirit always gives the right direction, the line of unfoldment. And giving that right direction of unfoldment, soul comes in and says, stick to that course, stick to that course. That's why it starts right in with that zigzag course and you see, with that following the timetable and the right course and the guiding of wisdom. And you see, says, once one has made, the second subject says, make your decision of putting first things first, but if one has made that decision, then soul comes and says, stick to it, persevere in it. That's why at the end of Spirit and Love, she said, she pointed already to this sense of soul. She said that we must constantly, you see, constantly turn away from material sense. You see, you get now the constancy of soul, the firmness of soul. And if in earnest, you have again that sincerity of soul, as in earnest from the start, we will finish the course with joy. It's no more a battle, then the joy of soul comes in. So what we will see here in the third subject is that she shows that atonement demands sticking to the right course, demands following the line of wisdom from sense to soul, and the Eucharist is don't give in, don't give in, don't falter, don't waver, don't swerve, stick to the gun. That's the third. Now the whole tone we will find here is that tone of perseverance in going the right direction. Spirit showed us the right direction. Soul says us now, be perseverant in that right direction. Don't give in that right direction. Gone, gone through hell or high water. Just gone. You see, let's see how the third subject in prayer leads to the third subject in atonement and Eucharist. That is, how the soul tone in the word of the word leads to the soul tone in the word of the Christ. What did we have in prayer as the third tone? In prayer, the third subject taught us that wonderful insight that we cannot fool God, that we cannot speculate on God. You remember that we have to pay the price, that we can't go around the divine order, that we have to be sincere in sticking to the rule of soul, that we must face up to the divine order, and that we cannot go around it. That was always the question, you see, that sincerity of soul which says, there is no other rule, I have to stick, I have to choose the divine rule. Then I have made that decision and seen that there is no other rule, that there is no other way, then inwardly in me something says, well, then I jolly well have to stick to that rule. If I see that there is no other rule, there is no other way from sense to soul, but when that divine order has shown me, well, then something in me says, well, then I jolly well have to stick to it and persevere in it and be confident in it and trust in that rule. And that's the tone of Eucharist. You get now to this tone of that I would epitomize soul here as that soul impels that inward steadfastness which alone brings spiritual understanding, which alone brings me from sense to soul. That soul, like we could epitomize it, that soul demands that perseverance which is necessary in order to go actually the way from sense to soul. You see, here we have that sense that we actually have to go that way and that we cannot imagine going the way from sense to soul. As long as we are praying and are silent in our sanctuary, well, the danger still may be lingering there that we just imagine going the way from sense to soul, because we are taught that that is the only rule. That's prayer. But when it comes to atonement Eucharist, it says, well, we jolly well have to show that forth, to exemplify it. Atonement is the exemplification of that unity with God. So soul is the exemplification of our sincerity, of our prayerful sincerity. And that means that come whatever may come, through thin and thick, we say in German, perhaps you have that saying too. Thick and thin. What did I say? Thick. Oh. Apparently the continentals always do the things upside down. But what we have in common is that atonement is the same here and in Switzerland. We have to stick either through thick and thin or through thin and thick. But we have to stick it through. And that's the tone and the touch in this third subject here. Therefore it stands against the counterfeit sense of that perseverance, namely it stands against that in us which only wants to drift along, which doesn't want to stick to what one has seen to be a right under any condition. Now, here comes in a point which I have seen in talking to students or patients and so on, which seems to be necessary to point out. You see, we teach that soul demands perseverance. And the student says, all right, then I have to conform it. And that may give a wrong impression. It may give that impression where you feel that inwardly, somehow with one's whole courage and will and determination, one has to stick to something. Now, that's not quite what the order of the word teaches us. The order of the word teaches us that, and we'll see that time and time again in the subtones, that this firmness is only arrived when it is built on the first and second subject. That, you see, for instance, I showed you that before, preceding to this subject, was spirit, which said, turn away from the material things and turn towards the imperishable things of spirit. Well, in this decision, there is some firmness. In this decision lies our whole firmness, and our perseverance must be in that decision, and not in some willful decision. Can you see that? It is the second subject must carry us in the perseverance. The second subject, the spirit of the whole thing, is that which gives us the power and strength and the perseverance, and not the human in us, not the moral demand and the moral command in us, not the human will in us must be perseverant and sticking to a decision. It is the love of the second, the love of the for the spiritual, in that we must persevere. The trust in the spiritual, the affection and the gratitude for the spiritual, in that we must persevere. You see, it must always grow out, must be born from the preceding subject. And then that perseverance which is asked here is not a willful perseverance. So sometimes we hear somebody say, well, I must be definite. Well, that's very nice, but definite how and in what? You see, it must have a ground. It must. If I say, well, we must be definite, for what? In what? And if it is scientific, it's always based on the first and second subject. Soul is always there that, you see, the days of creation gives us already the clue to it. It says, let the waters be gathered together. It falls back on the waters of the second day. It says, let those be gathered together. That becomes the dry land. That becomes definite. That then definiteness and perseverance grows in us. We don't have to put it on us. We don't have to add it to us. See, but it unfolds out of the second. This is very different. That's why so often people who want to be definite have difficulty to be definite. They go through difficult times. Why? Because their source is in the human will, or their source is in a human decision, or in a human command, or because somebody else has told them to be definite and to stick to it. It's somebody else. It's not spirit. It's not the order of the world. What is shown here is that the third day, spiritual understanding is the evidence, she says, is the evidence gained from spirit. Gained from spirit. See, therefore, the beauty of this third is that it draws its strength to persevere, that it draws its willingness to endure in perseverance. It draws that from mind and spirit. Any other perseverance is not scientific perseverance. We'll perhaps see that clearer and clearer. Now, just to show you that we come into this subject and into quite a different proposition, reading that third subject through, you will at once hear the tone of perseverance. She would say we have to pursue the right course. We must make vigorous efforts. Can you hear? We must occupy till I come. You see, you occupy. You must stick to the guns. Occupy till I come. Be not be weary in well-doing. You see again that perseverance and that endurance. Go not back to error. You see, stick to the guns. Do not become a sluggard in your race. See, not go back. Not become weary. Go forward. We must, and then there is a lot of the term constant and be firm and to be constant, you see, that's so. Can you hear the touch of of what's coming. It's coming something very different than the second subject. Therefore, I would say that this subject is all that which demands steadfastness, inward steadfastness, spiritual steadfastness, not human steadfastness, spiritual steadfastness, persistency, perseverance, determination, steadiness, decisiveness, to stick to the right, to the spiritual, to abide by it, to be firm, to be constant, to be definite, to be unwavering, to be unswerving. That's the tone of it. To be unswerving in what? Always ask you in what? Always in the first subject and in the second subject. The first subject has told us there is one law of atonement, and that is that we go the law, the order of atonement. It says, but we cannot fulfill that first subject unless we fulfill the second subject, namely that in going that way, that true way of atonement and following the law of atonement, we must put aside, turn away from anything that wants to detract us from that unity. And in doing that, constant rejecting of the false and holding fast to the right is the first subject, which demands that persistency in it, in persistently going that way of the first and second subject. You see, I try to always combine a subject with all the preceding ones, so that we don't have really seven, that we just have one, but an ordered one, that the infinite one is ordered. Against that, she speaks in this third subject that we should therefore not waver, not to be torn to and fro, that we must not pursue different courses and lines, that we must not diverge from the path which is shown before. We shouldn't go a zigzag course, that we shouldn't be drifting. See, all that comes in. We shouldn't vibrate like a pendulum between sin and the hope of forgiveness. And that faith, if it is mere belief, is as a pendulum swinging between nothingness and somethingness, having no fixity. Can you hear the tone? So I just want you to give the tone that you don't think I make all this thing up, that it's just in my mind, but that it is actually in the text. Now, how does she go through that subject, through the different tones? therefore, is this, in what should we persevere, and how can we persevere, and what are the necessary constituents of that soul sense of perseverance? First, in soul as mind, she gives the tone that atonement demands us to stick to the guidance of wisdom. See, she takes wisdom. She takes the road of wisdom. Takes that wise pilgrim, which has the right passport, which has the right guidance. She takes that and says, well, be perseverant in following but one guidance. See, in other words, she says, if we have seen the light of mind, which leads us, if we have seen something of the spiritual idea of science and seen that this is the solution to our problems and to the world problem, that it's the solution to materiality, if we have that wisdom to see that what we study is the right guide, soul comes in and says, all right, stick to it. Don't run after all sorts of spiritual things and all sorts of presentations, Hinduism and Eastern philosophy and absolutism and I don't know what. Stick to science, to the Bible and science and health. Take that right course and stick to it. It is sticking to the right course, not diverting and scattering one's fire, scattering one's research. Prayer says, desire to seek the one mind. Once we have seen the light of that one mind, comes and says, stick to it.